WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN Radio.
In the studio with me, Meg Hutchinson. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Have you been to Charlottesville before?
No. It's my first time.
Well, welcome. Glad that you're here. And, well, let's talk initially a little bit about this whole, you know, grouping of singer and songwriters. You were there with, well, how about if you go through the whole list?
Natalia Zuckerman.
Right.
Ann Heaton and Antje Duvekot.
And how did you guys, is this something that you guys put together, or do you all have the same manager? How did this all come together?
Well, we've all played in different configurations before together. Natalia is in New York, and the rest of us have been in Boston for a number of years. Actually, Ann Heaton moved there from New York in the past year and a half. So we've shared, you know, co-bills here and there. And for Club Passim's 10th anniversary campfire festival, we all four were on the stage together, and we decided to get together that afternoon and run through some songs and, you know, work out some harmonies. And we had such a blast, and the show was so much fun that we thought we need to do a few more of these. And so we played in New York two nights ago in the living room, and that was really fun. It's just a great chance because we're all friends already and we love each other's music to get up on stage and just support each other.
Tonight is this In the Round at the Gravity Lounge featuring not only the four women that Meg talked about, including herself, but also Sonia of Disappear Fear. Did she come on the bill a little bit later?
I actually didn't know she was on the bill, so that's great news because I like her a lot.
she's fabulous.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So there'll be lots of people there tonight performing at the Gravity Lounge. We'll get into talking about your music in just a minute, but how about if you start us off and give us an idea of what you sound like by bringing us a song?
Sure. Tossed into the sky. I live in corners of the night, checking in and checking out, and then I fly. Days stacked up on days, thunder in the winter, lightning flashing through the falling snow. Sleep a shallow sleep, and in the dream a little boy runs towards the checkpoint with a white flag in his hand. And I thread my coat to yours, and can we turn and turn and turn? Can I stitch your sadness to the wind and let it go? Cabin on your little piece of land, we curve your body against mine and let it rest. I learned the oneness of alone, I learned to call this motion home. Travel in, travel deep, travel in, travel deep. States all pressed against the highway, whole country working hard to look the same. They call it an illness, that miracle spring, when I leapt out of my flesh and became one with everything. Yeah.
building on your little piece of land. Will you curve your body against mine and let it rest? I learned the oneness of alone. I learned to call this motion home. Travel in, travel deep. Travel in, travel deep. Travel in, travel deep.
You're listening to Acoustic Sunrise on WNRN. Meg Hutchinson is my guest this morning, and we had Danny Schmidt in the WNRN studios yesterday. He used to live here, but he's a recent signee to Red House Records, which you also call your label home. How long have you been on Red House Records?
This is the first record with them, so the record came out in March, and I signed sometime last fall, and it's a thrill to have Danny join the family. He's a great songwriter, and it really is like a family at Red House. You know, it's a very close kind of group of musicians who all respect each other, and so it's great to have Danny on board now.
So, but you're from Boston, and I don't know how they go about choosing the people on their label. I mean, certainly they always choose people that I think most people would consider to be excellent, which is, you know, kudos to you. How did you end up, and do you apply? Do you send them lots of CDs? Does someone go and negotiate with a Red House? I didn't talk about this with Danny yesterday, so I'm kind of curious, a lingering thought from yesterday, since it's kind of a series of them, it's kind of interesting to me. So how did you end up on Red House? Did they call you up and say, we want you?
I'm sure the process is a little different with each artist, but I put out a record called The Crossing before this, and we started shopping that record around. We sent it to a lot of places. That was in 2004, and Red House was on the top of the list, and we struck up a good conversation with them, and I think they liked the record, and they kind of wanted to sit back and see what I was made of, see what I would do in the next few years with that record. And so we stayed in touch, and you know, we kept running into each other at Folk Alliance conferences, and when I went into the studio to make this new record, we were pretty sure, you know, halfway through that the deal was done. We kept sending them demos, and they kept you know, saying, we really like what you're doing. And so it was a very organic process of just, you know, I really had so much respect for what they did, and had grown up listening to Red House artists, and they were looking to bring on some young songwriters and kind of start a new chapter in the Red House story. So
I think that's kind of my feeling, actually, because I think that over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, they've, you know, taken established artists who either have been flung out by their other label, or you know, have been on their own but want the, I guess, in some set level, the security and support of them. And it's been interesting to me to see both you and Danny be signed to Red House, because that's not what, you know, I see them as the, you know, the home of Eliza Gilkison and Robin Linda Williams, and which was all great, but it's kind of nice to me to see them in a more of a development role.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, you know, it's a real treat to, at this stage of my career, have that kind of support and really that, you know, that stamp on the back of the record that says Red House, that kind of automatically makes your disc sit on the top of the pile when they send it out. And that's just been such a great help with promoting this new record.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, pre-Red House days. And you grew up in Great Barrington, Massachusetts?
I did, and I'm so glad that you actually know where it is, because most people don't. It's in the southwest corner of Mass.
I said, yeah. Did you run into Arlo? That was my question for her this morning.
And yes, indeed, Arlo's church is the next town over, and has turned into a wonderful music venue, and I've played there a number of summers, and they bring a lot of artists through there, and it's great. It's just such a great old building, and they've really kept the tradition alive in there.
So did you start playing out when you were still living in Great Barrington, or was this more, I don't know, your journey? Did you start playing in college? Where did you start playing out and writing songs?
I didn't move to Boston until 2002. So prior to that, I definitely was playing around the Berkshires. And I knew somewhere in my late teens that this was what I wanted to do, and set out to play every place that would let me in the door, every dive bar, every Borders bookstore, you know, wherever they'd let me play, whether or not people were listening, I was completely into it. And so definitely paid my dues, but enjoyed the whole process, and eventually got to a point where I realized that I needed a bigger community. You know, I just needed to be challenged a little bit more. And I heard Martin Sexton's record, Black Sheep. And the minute I put it in, I thought, whoever produced this record, I've got to make a record with this guy. And happened to be Crit Harman, who lives in Boston. And so that was years before I actually moved there, but I just put it on the radar. That's what I want to do. And people kind of laughed at that point. And they're like, yeah, sure. And so at one point I had a conversation with Martin Sexton, and I said, you know, what's your advice to someone at my stage? And he said, go play the Subways. And that's what he had done. You know, that's where
he launched
his career. He played the Subways in Boston. And I thought, well, you know, if he does it, and if Tracy Chapman does it, well, I guess it's a good thing to do. And so I set out for Boston, and I did spend about a year and a half playing the Subways. And it was a tremendous education, because nobody's paying tickets to hear you, you know. Nobody's obligated to stop. And so it's kind of an instant pull all the time as to whether what you're doing is worth stopping for or missing a train for. And it's also just a great way to kind of hone your craft and learn how to sing for 4 hours straight. And I found it kind of romantic. And there were definitely a few occasions though where, you know, someone from my old high school or something would be in Boston for some reason, and they'd walk by me on the platform, and they would stop and do a double take, and then they'd come over, and there'd be this look of kind of horror and concern, and they would I think they pictured that I was homeless, you know, and they'd say, how are you doing? And I'd say, oh, great, I'm having a great time, and Boston, you know, is a blast. And they would just look at me, you know, and they were a little worried, but there's such a great tradition down there that people do take it seriously, you know, who live in Boston. And
did you have a day job besides singing in the Subways?
No, at that point, wow. I was just playing the Subways and staying with friends. And within 2 months of moving to Boston, I actually wound up at a conference and bumped right into Crit Harman and said, I've been waiting years to make a record with you. And he looked at me like, sure, kid, you gotta be dreaming. All right. But he was so amused by how determined I was that he finally said, well, come over to the studio, you know, come over to my studio and play a few songs. And I came over, and he said, well, let's try to produce one of these songs. And then he said, let's try to produce three. And then he said, let's make a record. and that was such a, you know, such a big moment for me to finally be in a great studio and working with someone that I really respected. And so that was kind of the turning point for me. And sadly, the Subway tradition is actually changing now that everyone has an iPod. You know, I think I got in there at right the right moment, because now everybody you see down there has their, you know, their iPod on. They're not really listening to the buskers anymore.
My guest this morning is Meg Hutchinson, and she's going to be playing with a whole host of other women tonight at the Gravity Lounge. Another song?
Sure. Bugs out on the water make it look like rain. Leaves on every tree once again turning. Summer's past, but it's never far. If you look real close, you
mind see scars but me. Yeah, me, I'm only seeing stars. Evening light on a gravel path. I could be scared, but I've had enough of that old big old moon rising up. Even in this light, you might see scars with me. Yeah, me, I'm only seeing stars. When they take everything and you got nothing left, a deer in the headlights in your hospital bed, just dreaming of a simple life, a gentleman, a solid night. Me and the dog down at the reservoir. Yeah, look real close, you might see scars but me. Yeah, me, I'm only seeing stars. Oh, 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 oh. Seems all your songs are about leaving. Seems both your hands are about now. Up in the sky, home through the dark. If you look real close, you might see scars with me. Yeah, me, I'm only seeing stars. Me. Yeah, me, I'm only seeing stars.
WNRN. Meg Hutchinson is my guest this morning. She's playing tonight in an In the Round at the Gravity Lounge. She's starting at 7 o'clock. So we talked a little earlier about you meeting up with these other young ladies, but let's talk a little bit about their songwriting and you know, how you all kind of fit together. Are you all about the same age?
I think so. I think within probably 3 or 4 years of each other.
Well, it's kind of nice. You see each other as a peer group, maybe even a support group of sorts?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever try out songs on each other or help each other finish songs?
I can't speak for them. I haven't directly collaborated in terms of the writing process with any of them, but I think we definitely, Natalia and I are part of a online singer women's kind of writing group where every month one of us picks a topic, and there are probably 12 women in the group and all over the country, and one of us will pick a topic and then everyone has to write a song that somehow deals with that theme or that word or phrase or whatever it is, and then we all use GarageBand on our computers and make the very roughest recording and send the MP3 around to everybody, and then people write in their comments, and that's been a kind of fun virtual song group for all of us. And I think we kind of hold back from being terribly critical with each other, because the point is to just generate new songs, and you automatically get inspired by just hearing all of these other artists. So that's been really fun with Natalia but it's, you know, it's just great to be around people whose songwriting I really admire. And everyone has, you know, a different style, but Natalia is a tremendous guitar player. And Ann Heaton plays the keyboard, which is really nice in the round because it mixes it up, since the other three of us are playing guitar. And Ancha just has a voice that just leaps out at you. You feel like you're, you know, like 2 inches away from her when she's singing. It's just this really warm, just beautiful voice. She's in the process of finishing a record with Richard Schindel. And Natalia has a record that came out this year that Willie Porter
Right. Actually, he was here earlier this fall saying very nice things about Natalia.
He's great. Yeah. So that's a wonderful record. And Ann Heaton also just finished a new record called Blazing Red that's coming out in the new year, and was produced by a member of the band Hem. And I can't remember his name right now, but it's also just a beautiful record.
Well, that's nice. And thanks for, you know, bringing us up to date on everybody. But how about one more song from you this morning?
Sure. This is another one from my new record. The record's called Come Up Full, and this is a song called Home. I won't tell you where I've been, only that it's so good to be home. It's possible to go so far down, as some of you might already know. Did you go there too? I won't tell you what. Only that this world can be so mean. Brave souls shoveling up and down the halls. No one visits, no one calls. Did you wait there too? Sort of lead in the lurch. I'm just glad they found a cure. Did you find one too?
Darkness.
WNRN. Meg Hutchinson is my guest. I'm so glad you played that one. I have to say that of all the songs on this new record you have, that's the song that haunted me the most. I don't know if it was your intention. The thought that I was left with was, you know, the whole idea on some level of sorrow being someone's lover.
Yeah.
And then you saying goodbye. And then I just had all these thoughts about, you know, kind of like the idea of having an emotion, you know, you going to, you know, kind of having an intimate relationship with an emotion and what, you know, kind of, and having to say goodbye to something as powerful as sorrow. That's an amazing thought anyway. So I've been thinking about that. So
oh, good. It was definitely an unwelcome guest in my life. And I said, okay, ready, it's time for you to leave.
Well, but certainly we've all had thoughts and feelings that we've wanted to leave, but I never really thought about it on an intimate level like that before. I mean, you know, we've all been haunted by emotions, but I never really thought about it. But it's a good one, actually. I think it's a good way to maybe exercise those things from your life. So
for sure.
Thank you for letting me think about that. But I mean, I'm seriously, I've been thinking about that song for the last 24 hours. So it's a good one. And I'm thank you so much for coming in this morning.